Hello, everybody. Welcome to season four, V Speaks Conversations with Heart and Soul. I'm super excited today about a very interesting group of three gentlemen in the studio. David Richard, who is many things, entrepreneur, restaurateur, has a film studio called Illuminant. And then we have screenplay writers who also produced a graphic novel on a very important screenplay and graphic novel called Days of Darkness. And this is written by Joseph Riccobono and Peter Compagno. And let's get into it because this is a lot and I'm fascinated by it. I'll give a little bit of the backstory. I met David about a year ago at Asia and we were just connecting, talking about the magazine, and David started talking about, you know, some things that he had done in the past, and this was one of them, and I was immediately intrigued by that. I didn't even really want to talk about the magazine or does he want an ad in the magazine anymore. I'm like, so the movie studio, so like, let's go back to that.
Right. And I saw that look in your face when I said, like, and let's hear more about this.
So he starts telling me, and then as David is recounting this, I'm like, that's Book of Revelations. Like, that's what you're telling me right now. Yeah. And I'm like, what? There's a screenplay and what happened? And he said it was 10 years ago. I'm like, well, what's happening now? And he said, well, no, like, I'll get you a graphic novel or whatever. So I think I told this to you when I talked to you on the phone, Peter. When David told me about it, my curiosity was piqued to like the nth degree. And I am a very curious person. And I do a lot of creative things, like crazy creative things. And somehow I'm able to, God willing, pull them off. But when I heard it, I'm like, oh, this has to be a movie. Like, it, and David is saying, well, yeah, like that's what we were doing, yeah, you know, years ago. So I think it took a little bit, maybe a month or two before I got this graphic novel, which is really, really well done and excellent. And started getting into it. My life got super busy, you know, just trying to run some businesses, and I couldn't jump on it as fast as I wanted to, but it was always ever present in my mind. And then, you know, I started circling back to David about it and like kept running point on it as best as I could. But when I did hear it initially from you, David, I thought, yeah, maybe of anything I ever knew about in my life right now, I would probably say this might be the most important thing that's ever happened. And I want to see it made.
Yeah.
And it's never left me at all. So that's the fact great. That I'm
Thank
meeting.
You. That's exciting. It's an amazing compliment. Know,
I mean, it's so, it was so ahead of its time even 10 years ago, that I really can't believe it. And then I know it was even a labor of whatever it was, passion or love, or you just had to do it like before that, right?
Yeah, many years before that.
Many years. Mm-hmm. So this has been germinating in you for so long. Then you meet David, and then I'm trying to figure out like where to start here. Like it's such a rich story and there's so much going on, but maybe start with the, when you were shopping this, when David, you formed the production studio, mm-hmm, and then you understood that this was something like crazy good and you put your money into it and your time and your effort. Mm-hmm. And then you both were working, in this as full time. You started shopping it to people. Like I know David shared with me fairly recently. What was the reaction when you started shopping it to some people, like whether they were agents or whatever?
Yeah, I mean, we shopped it around. We were hoping to get, you know, response of somebody just wanting to pick it up and run with it. But it was a big budget film.
Sure. Yeah.
So it was something that we got it to somebody, but they wouldn't have connections for that kind of budget. Or it was, well, we'll get this into these hands and then, you know, we get it into somebody's hands, and then, you know, again, it would still be the budget. I remember shopping it around to somebody, and I felt like this was an opportunity. I'm not going to name the name just yet, but this was somebody that then made two movies kind of off subject from this, but not the exact piece. And so then we started getting a little gun shy of, Are we going to put it out there and maybe somebody's going to run with it and steal the idea? But then nobody did it. It never did get produced beyond that point. But it was, we were shopping it whenever we could to whomever.
And one of the things that was important was we put together some concept art, because we had a screenplay that, you know, Peter and I had worked on. It's what got David interested. But so we wanted to have something visual to grab people. And so we did some concept art for it and chopped it around a bit. And as we were getting these, you know, hitting these hurdles and realizing what's involved, we realized that, okay, our choices are somebody else is perhaps going to do it in some other form, maybe after seeing our idea, maybe not, but because it's certainly an idea that's been around for a long time, right? It's very, very old story. Mm-hmm. So we already had this concept art, and with David's help and David's backing and belief, Peter and I had bootstrapped this. We did all this work on the side while we had our day jobs, and we were writing the story, pushing the story, developing it. With David's help, we got the money to go and make the graphic novel. So we were already getting some artwork, already getting some concepts, and it convinced us, hey, this is a way to put it in a more distinct form that can really show somebody what it could be. Also to solidify that we were creators of it. It's not just some random seed of an idea.
And the work that went into doing that, just the creative side of figuring out who the players were, what does it look like? We discussed this last night.
Each character, I mean, we had to say that, you know, their leg was in a certain position, or maybe a wing was going to be raised for an angel in a certain way.
And that was after finding who was going to do the drawings and what those drawings were going to look like. Because we went to two Comic-Cons, right? We went to one out in L.A. and another one in New York. And in L.A., the first artist was more computer-generated stuff. And for whatever reasons, we moved on from that, right?
Yeah, but it was very cool. Cool art. Very and cool. Yeah. You know, but
do we still have any of that art?
I'm not sure if we still have that art. It was very cool. At the time, I don't think that the artist wanted to take on the full project.
It was a huge
project. It was a big project at the time for him. Yeah. So then we looked at some other artists.
And did we meet Glasshouse in New York?
I'm not exactly sure how we heard about Glasshouse. I think that they were it's Glasshouse Graphics, I think. Mm-hmm. And they were a big group at the time. And so we were looking at their website with all their artists. And we were saying, okay, we like this art or we like this artist. And then we realized what our budget could handle, because some of these artists are
even much. Always comes down to the money, doesn't it?
Always comes down to the money.
That's a lot of pages. That's a lot of art.
Yes.
I know it.
So we needed to figure it out. We found it. We found a young, upcoming artist in Brazil.
Amelia Wu,
who was phenomenal. Amazing. Yeah, she did a phenomenal job. You know, just the screenplay that shows our notes and then what she would come back with.
Yeah.
I mean,
they're all pencil sketches from the very beginning to determine what each character looked like. And, you know, that was up to them. And
where did you find her?
She worked with Glasshouse.
Okay.
She's one of their representatives. Okay.
Do you still keep in contact with her?
I think the last time we talked to her was maybe about 3 or 4 years ago. But I think as fast as I reached out to her then, she was reaching back out to us within a day. Mm-hmm. And I think it would be the same thing. We've reached out now.
Well, for her, this is a part of her life. This is a huge.
That was a year dedicated, at least a year dedicated full-time work for her, where she couldn't do any other projects.
Yeah, I bet. Yeah. So was it a passion project for her too, as well as it was for both of you?
I would think so. Yeah, absolutely.
It was an opportunity for her because it was the largest job that she had ever gotten. And so for her, it was an opportunity to prove that she can handle something like this, because not every artist can. It's one thing to be really good at sketching a couple of little pictures, but to have to carry it through day after day, day after day, have it look consistent, and to be actually just dependable enough to complete a project of this length, like not every artist can. Mm-hmm. So right there, that was important for her to be able to kind of prove herself as a true professional, not just somebody that can draw well.
Right, right. And work with the team and all that. Yeah, and then, absolutely. David, for you then, what was it inside of you that went, I'm going to put my money behind this and I'm going to go? Because you were going full bore.
Yeah, I mean, at the time, I had just sold my company. I had landed a very large contract following Katrina, and I sold that business. And I was looking for new ventures, and I just bought a new house. And when I was unpacking some stuff, the screenplay was at the top of one of the boxes. I remember I picked it up and sat down, and I was in my formal dining room and just started reading it. And I don't read a lot, you know. And I kept reading it. And Peter had given it to me back in 2004, I think. Yeah. Katrina hit in 2005, which everybody knows how bad that was. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I said, you know what? This I like this. So we talked about what it would look like to start.
And I knew David at the time, but I didn't know David as well as I know David now. So right. I wanted to get the screenplay into somebody's hands that may be able to do something with it or have mm-hmm. the finances to push it to another level. Mm-hmm. It didn't happen at that exact time, but then after Katrina, I get a call from David mm-hmm. and we were getting together almost immediately after that to see how we could form a group to put this out there. Mm-hmm. At the time, Joe and I were partners in this. And so I said, well, I've got another business partner with me. Mm-hmm. This would be an opportunity.
Yeah, and that's when Eminent Studios was formed. Mm-hmm. So we're a third and a third and a third on this.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So we're equal partners on that. And Eminent Studios owns the screenplays and the graphic novel. Mm-hmm. So.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and at the time it was, it was whatever we wrote, this would be as a part of Eminent Studios. And mm-hmm. so, we were trying to put as much material together mm-hmm. and put together a studio package that if we had somebody pick up our projects, mm-hmm. we'd have some things ready to
sure.
go.
Mm-hmm. And, I forgot about this too. So another investment I did was an energy drink company. And these guys, another screenplay we have is Napoleonic. And they actually filmed it, right?
It was a short film, yes.
Short film, right. Mm-hmm. So they did my commercials for Cult. And all of our promotions, they were, wrote the whole commercial for Cult.
Yeah, we did. We put that together.
Great. And it was incredible.
It was just a project that, let's put this concept out there. And we were working with a little person at the time. His name was Drew Rind Varick.
I don't know what the thing was with the little people, but we used him in everything.
We used him. We had him in our short film, Napoleonic.
Yep.
I met him. And then, next thing you know, he was great for the commercial that we were doing. Mm-hmm. We were shooting that. And putting that out there for Cult Energy.
Name?
Drew Rind Varick.
Drew Rind, yeah.
What kind of airtime were you buying then for this drink?
It was a short 30-second mm-hmm. clip.
It was a 30-second clip.
Running it before the Saints games. Mm-hmm. So, okay.
You could find it on YouTube. I forgot about it. I'm actually in the commercial with a medical mask on. We didn't have enough extras that day. Yeah, that was me in the commercial. My sister was in the commercial. So we were bootstrapping projects like that whenever we could.
Mm-hmm. And we had a good relationship with the parish president of Jefferson Parish, mm-hmm. and they were real big into the film industry.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
So they helped us with locations.
Yeah,
right?
That was huge.
And they got us out to Sundance. We went to Sundance, which
David was telling me that. Tell me about that a little bit more.
Yeah, we did. We did a joint venture with Jefferson Parish and split a hospitality suite on Main mm-hmm. Street at Sundance Film Festival. Well, it was right there.
Were you able to show anything of anything
we
that you
did?
Were doing?
We had the concept art already prepared at that time. So we had a big, huge poster of the cover.
We didn't have
the full book at the time.
We had something, huh?
That we did. It was concept art, right?
It was concept art, and we made a huge banner that had the front cover of Days of Darkness, which was pretty
and a beautiful model.
Amazing. Yeah. And yes.
Walking around.
At the time, the graphic novel was in production, but it wasn't finished yet.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that was a chance for us to try to get some cool buzz out there before it was done.
Making some connections.
Yeah, that's great. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, you were taking it very seriously.
Absolutely.
And taking all the necessary steps that you would do to basically take it to market, right, and shop it.
We made some great contacts at that event.
Yeah.
So,
could you give the listeners a quick synopsis of the graphic novel, but then describe to them like you were doing prior to us going live, where it's a trilogy so that we can set up the concept that you have.
Yeah, so the story starts with how the angels were formed by God to watch over and guide the humans. And the human beings were, you know, as it's put in the novel, God's most beloved. So they were given a gift of free will, and then from there, the angels, specifically Lucifer, felt slighted by God, and at that point formed a rebellion, mm-hmm. which is how the graphic novel starts. Mm-hmm. And from there, God asked Michael the Archangel to remove Lucifer, mm-hmm. and that's that you know, that iconic picture that we've seen where Michael the Archangel mm-hmm. is standing on Lucifer's mm-hmm. neck, and mm-hmm. he's ready to throw him out of heaven, and that's where the story picks up. Mm-hmm. Where we deviate is what happens at the end of times. And so the graphic novel goes into what's basically God's judgment, or mm-hmm. God is calling for the judgment of the human beings. And mm-hmm. Lucifer, or Satan now, will be given time to gather all those souls on earth mm-hmm. during the final judgment. Mm-hmm. And so the book takes you through the book of Revelations, the seven seals, what those signs will look like during the end of times, and then coinciding with that final battle between Lucifer and Michael the Archangel. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And the prophecy of the 3 days of darkness yeah. was mm-hmm. what kind of took the book of Revelation stuff and then expounded on another prophecy from within the church that, yeah. you know, was terrifying, scary to us, and we thought would be, yeah. you know, something that hasn't been seen before.
It hasn't.
Yeah.
Not in this format. It hasn't been seen before.
No, and that's what I was saying earlier. When I was 10 years old, I went to Medjugorje, yeah. and that's when the 3 days of darkness. I mean, as a 10-year-old, you yeah. hear about 3 days of darkness mm-hmm. where the devil's going to roam the earth mm-hmm. and gather all the souls, and it scares you. Mm-hmm. So that sat with me forever. Mm-hmm. And then at a certain point, we started looking at our high school years, and we're into feature films, and mm-hmm. and then that's how it became more of a story of a movie or mm-hmm. a feature film like that. But the Days of Darkness is you know, the main crux of the film, mm-hmm. which is 3 days mm-hmm. of total darkness on earth, mm-hmm. No electricity. The only thing that lights or that's capable of light are blessed candles. You're mm-hmm. not supposed to go out or open your door mm-hmm. Because then the devil would take you at that point. Mm-hmm. And so that was like a horror film.
Right. Much so. Yeah. Yeah, that's what I yeah. was saying to you, Joe, on the phone. Like, oh, yeah. It's so scary. You know,
absolutely.
Like, and if you could get that out there, so that more people besides yes. us know this, then, you know, maybe
that's the goal.
That's the goal, right? Yeah. I mean, that is like that the is ultimate the goal. Because so many people don't believe it's real. You know, you can't see something you can't see the spiritual world. You know, people think it doesn't exist, but it doesn't mean that it doesn't exist.
Yeah. Well, the biggest trick the devil did was making people think he doesn't exist. Mm-hmm. And that's, you know, that's kind of where we are in the world right now. It seems yeah. like God is being pushed out.
Yeah.
And you know, more of the hedonism is being welcomed, mm-hmm. and so this story mm-hmm. is a warning.
Is yeah, a very big warning.
And like you were saying earlier, the graphic novel in comparison to the trilogy,
this yeah. is
more of just a little bit of the beginning of,
yes.
of the first one, and then mostly the end.
Yes, yeah, so it's the beginning, and the beginning is something that was always what we wanted to. You know, we wanted to start with it. We've mm-hmm. never seen a story of how Lucifer became Satan
yeah.
or this battle between Michael mm-hmm. and Lucifer. Mm-hmm. But this would be volume 3 of that trilogy.
Mm-hmm. Volume 3.
And then, you know, the first two volumes would be the human characters that lead mm-hmm. up mm-hmm. to these seven right. seals being yeah. broken.
These prophecies, you know, the pre-Days of Darkness mm-hmm. build up mm-hmm. and then living through those times. Because mm-hmm. There is certainly, of course, there's elements of that in mm-hmm. this book, but mm-hmm. this is more the start and the end, mm-hmm. and there's a big chunk of mm-hmm. of middle of the story that mm-hmm. we went much deeper on as well, yeah, right. that could be added in.
One nugget of truth that, like, I never really thought of before when I read it is that like Lucifer was actually jealous of humans because he disagreed that we should be forgiven and he thought we were horrible and they were superior beings, and then God said, no, you're not superior to them. And so really he hated humans and was jealous of them.
Yes.
When you really, like, understand, like, the very simplicity of that, it's easier to understand that he's, mm-hmm. you know, real, and that God really loves us. Yeah. Because we are, like, quite fallen. Humans are quite fallen. Yeah.
Yeah, there's flaws to all of us. Mm-hmm. And I think that free will is what part of the story was about. God gives us that opportunity to choose him mm-hmm. or to choose another direction in our lives. That right. choice is ours.
Yes. And
Lucifer just happened to, to want to put us in whatever traps he could to pull us away from God.
Right.
So that, the pride that we've all heard about
yes.
with Lucifer, that became, that became part of his downfall. But it was part of how much he hated humans.
Yes, that's what exactly. It was more about.
Causes a lot of havoc in the grand plan, obviously.
Yes. One other thing, when I read it again last night, that stood out like a neon light to me was the scene where you have like a Dan Rather type reporter, whether it was him or not, I don't know, saying this just in news today that Hamas has attacked Israel. And I'm like, okay, so I know that they wrote this 10 years ago. And like, this is actually really on the news right now.
Yeah.
And like, then I, what do you think when you're like, well, yeah, we wrote about this and, 10 years ago. And then you shared with me that you've, over the course of time, had to take some things out because it became
real.
It became real.
Yeah,
and so you couldn't prophetically
say what's going to happen. It turned into stale old news as opposed to this future buildup. And the book is about a near future. So, we have to try to be a step ahead. So once certain things happened, we're like, all right, well, can I use that one now?
Yeah. Back to the drawing board and see what else the world is going to unfold before us. But Hamas, I mean, we did research on different things. We started to look at that turmoil that's been there for thousands of years.
Mm-hmm.
And Hamas, other terrorist organizations, they became part of our story because they became, a threat to the world. Mm-hmm. And different things that we saw at a certain point may be an issue. We never thought that, the things that are happening today in our world with Hamas and Israel would have ever happened. Mm-hmm. But, they are, these are the times that we're living in. Mm-hmm. I think Hamas and Israel are just one other example of a world of potential days of darkness that we're living in right now.
Exactly. So where to go from here? Where to go? Pick it back up again. I think I shared with David a couple days ago that I thought the world wasn't ready for it 10 years ago, even though I thought it was, and I commend you, but I do think it's ready for it today. And so...
We feel the same.
You do?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, we feel the same. We feel that it was it's a matter of getting it into the right hands, having someone else have that vision that mm-hmm. this is a timely film. The material's there, the interest. I mean, there's a lot of things about Judgment Day or an end of the world type scenario right now.
Mm-hmm.
But a feature film at the right time,
I feel it, a feature film, this at the end of the movie, it would be dead silent.
Mm-hmm.
You wouldn't hear a pin drop.
Yeah.
People would, in an orderly fashion, leave and be thinking.
Yeah.
That's how I think people left The Passion of the Christ. When 100%. I went to the one spoke.
Or you had people crying.
Yeah. Several people crying, or like you sit in your chair for a long time because you can't get up because you're thinking, it would be incredibly life altering or thought provoking to say the least.
Yes.
The least, right?
Yeah.
One of the things that was always special to us for the storytelling of it was that it has the kind of the terrors and the horrors. It has the prophecies and really thinking through, okay, if this is the prophecy, what would that be like? What could that be like? But it also has these grand heroes and villains. It has, it has these characters that have been discussed, thousands and thousands of years, very, iconic, and you take the greatest good and the greatest evil and, all kinds of great movies have good villains and good heroes, but I mean, these are some of the biggest, highest tier level heroes and villains that you can have. So you have all these, the human element, the what if, the religious aspect, the fear and faith, but then you also still have this grand spectacle of the most powerful heroes and mm-hmm. the worst evil villains mm-hmm. that you could possibly mm-hmm. come up with. So, I mean, that was part of it, is it weaves right. all these things together. Right. So it brings a lot for a lot of different.
Right. But to your point, it's like great entertainment that you can't even fabricate, right? And you know that humans want that fantastical entertainment. But the beauty of this is it would be, yes, all of that, which would envelop people to then go, oh, yes,
something deeper, this is true. To go, yeah, so it goes more than just, that's not, and that's so, not the, the full depth.
Yeah, to me, like, you know, conventional preachers, you know, like so many people have, like, you know, been exposed for, like, you know, being charlatans or, mm-hmm. you know, not real or disingenuous. And no one really looks to them. And, like, church can't be the church that it used to be before because nobody believes in that or the organized religion. So if you're going to, like, affect change, it would have to be in a different manner. And this is the manner that I think this is in. Which it's not church, but it actually is church.
Yeah, I mean, I'm glad that you said that. There's a lot of things that I think, you know, this is part of even the trilogy that we wrote about, was that a lot of the churches or whatever groups that we used to rely on, you can't rely on them as much or trust them. And right. so we felt like this was our chance of telling that true story that we would do our research on, take seriously, mm-hmm. and then put it in a format, like you said, that other people would be able to at least be entertained while they're watching it, but then it would be thought-provoking at that point.
Yes. Yeah. Let me ask you this. I think now that you kind of shelved it, David's doing a lot of cool things. The rainmaker that David is doing a lot of things. And where are you now? Like now, present day, looking at the world, that your own project looks like it's like here, almost here. I know you've got your lives going on, successful businesses, kids, wives, and all that. Today, right now, at this minute, like, where are you in the big push toward taking it off the shelf and, like, going for it, everybody?
Yeah. I mean, I think we're there. I mean, the good thing about, so, you know, from my position, I do IT support. I've got a business. I've, 25 people that work for me now, but this would be a chance. Mm-hmm. I wanted to start that business so that literally I can go back and focus on this again and have the opportunity and the means to do that. Mm-hmm. So now that we've come full circle and been able to, you know, put ourselves in a position to do that,
sure.
we mm-hmm. would go full bore with it and get it into the right hands. Mm-hmm. But you know, we were even talking about possibly shooting a trailer, like a 2-minute teaser, and showing Michael and Lucifer, on screen, passing some lines back and forth, just to give people the idea, wow, this could happen on film. So, we're committed, and in it 100%.
Sure, absolutely.
A lot of just the experience, you know, I mean, this time we have the experience of everything we learned along the way, plus fast forward all of us as business owners, the new set of connections that we've each made and resources that we each have to bring to bear. So, it was nice kind of looking at each other and being like, hey, you know, might be another round in us here, you know, it was nice.
Yeah, that's good.
Exciting.
So the band's back.
The band is back. Yeah,
so.
We definitely are. And Lisa, I want to thank you. You know, you've been a great help in breathing life back into this project. So.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, I believe in it, like, so wholeheartedly. Money is hard to raise, but it's not impossible to raise. I think I asked you, what are you talking about right now? Do you think with how much budgets are now, what would it take? I think I asked you that on the phone.
You said
you're out, like, you don't know.
Does anybody really want to hear this number?
Right.
Like, yeah. I have a guess in my head, but it might be even too small. But
I mean, 100 million at least.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was like, I think I threw off. Is it 50 million? I thought it would at least be 50, but maybe 100. But
yeah, we're looking at 365 million. And that's it's a very stylized type film that would show the angels in a certain way and the battles and the fighting. But you know, 65 million is a lot of money.
And that's green screen.
Right.
If it's a creative filmmaker that took a look at the graphic novel and had a vision of how they could pull it together and there's a new technology now that didn't exist then. Yes. So, I mean, I'd be more curious to hear what a producer thinks it would be and for us to be helping refine the writing and, you know, getting it to where it needs to be to go on film. I think that would be what... That'd be the part I think we could really bring to bear. But somebody that's in it today and knows the ins and outs, they'd be better to come up with what the dollar figure is.
Mm-hmm. Some of those scenes can be.
There's also numerous ways to tackle a project like that artistically. Yeah. So, I mean, they might come up with a way to shoot something or display something that gets the message across and cuts the budget. And
Right.
And we were talking, it's not the same kind of film, but Robert Rodriguez did Sin City and he took a small part of what he wanted that film to look like. Mm-hmm. And then everybody said, okay, let's do this. Yeah. And Frank Miller. And so I think if we took a smaller budget, showed what it was able to do and what it would look like, then the investment may come there to budget the rest.
Right. Yeah. I think it's going to happen. I told that to David a couple of times. I mean, you know, you put in the time, the work, the passion, it's your dream and probably like pretty much what you were supposed to do. You know, like you probably couldn't have put it down if you wanted to. It doesn't sound like you could.
It was
impossible to put down.
It was more than part of you. You couldn't put it down. So
there was a lot of years where we just trooped constantly. I mean, this was before there was a budget. We worked for years together.
Yeah.
And then after there was a budget, we worked full time for years. On. And then even after that, you know, we found other ways to keep it fresh. And, you know, we've refined the dialogue over the years, you know, a few times with things we've learned and things that happen that we need to adjust. So
what's the latest? I know the first edition was 2008. What is this one?
So that's 2016. So and that's what would happen. Sometimes David would contact me, you know, what's going on with the projects? And I would say, well, we're looking at relettering this. We're looking at, at changing some of the dialogue. And we would reach out to the people involved. Zach was the letterer that we were working with. And we'd contact him. And he would say, okay, we'd do another round of it and put those edits out there. So it was, we weren't going to put it down.
Mm-hmm. Well, when we were talking on the phone, I think I had mentioned that I had just read within the last two or three weeks that Mel Gibson and Mark Wahlberg formed a film company together. And Mark Wahlberg is big into, you know, he's into the whole, the Catholic app and everything. You know, he's really like very vocal about this right now. Like he really is like a little, my version of a preacher, kind of in a best sense of the word.
That's awesome.
You know? And then you know what Mel, and they have the money. So there you go.
The right easy peasy, right? Get into their hands.
Mel Gibson, give them a call.
My mom is infatuated with Mark Wahlberg. She's like seeing the hitman or the, what is it?
That was actually pretty all right.
What is it called? It's not the hitman. Is it?
I think it's the hitman,
It's where he gets framed?
Yeah, I think so.
I'm not sure about that.
She loves him. I've seen it 100 times. I love that guy. She loves him.
I mean, Mel Gibson would be a great pick for this. I mean, after seeing Passion, but even after seeing Braveheart.
Braveheart.
The Shooter. The Shooter is the name of the movie.
That's a good one.
Mark Wahlberg. The Shooter.
Yes, I did see that too. But, you know, there's a whole uprising right now of entertainment doing non-woke stuff. Like there's a whole
just a movement.
Movement.
Right.
Yeah. So they're part of that sort of non-woke thing.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean the right people would have to, you know, want to take this film and you know, or this project and then the entire undertaking to do that. I mean, it would be you know, they would be the right people to do something like that. But yeah, getting this script into their hands, that would be
incredible.
A dream come true.
Yeah.
Right.
Absolutely.
So like I'm a type of person that likes to go shoot from the top down, not from the bottom up. And so I think that should be your
just get it right
just
over there.
Go right
I
there.
Agree. I think we've tried the bottom up approach, yeah. And not, you know, trying to step on toes or maybe just not even mm-hmm. wanting to take that shot. Mm-hmm. But that,
take it.
Yeah, I agree. Mm-hmm. That would mm-hmm. be the way to, you know, you find out right away if somebody's interested. And like you said, this is that time.
Right.
You know, the world yeah. is
in need.
Is
in
need.
Dire need.
In dire need.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Wow. Well, thank you.
Thank you.
Everybody.
Thank you.
Thank you.
The dream trio here, like, this is pretty awesome. I don't think it was a mistake that we met, David.
No.
I mean, Asia, I love it, and I'm like a number one fan of yours, okay? And I'm going to eat there as much as I can. But honestly, this trumps it, and, yeah. And Asia's pretty darn sure. good, okay?
Well, that's a big thank compliment. You so much. We really appreciate
yeah.
it.
Yeah. Well,
it's been a great opportunity.
Oh, thanks for coming over, too, from New Orleans.
Thanks for the invitation.
You're welcome.
Thank
and
you.
All good things, right? Just like onward and upward. And yes. It's been a pleasure to speak with everybody here on this project. Thank you.
We very appreciate much. You.
Thank you, Lisa. Yeah.
Thank you, everyone. If you're not a little bit interested or intrigued or motivated to find out more about this, I would be hard pressed to say that you weren't. But anyway, I hope you enjoyed it and have a good day, everybody. Thank you for watching. Bye.